Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Irvin, Daf Tzadites. We begin on the second line from the top, Tzadites of an Aleph, with quoting the Mishnah. We said, Uvad shlo yotzi chutz. Just to remind ourselves, we learned yesterday in the Mishnah that if a person is standing, Omeid Odom Birshus HaYochid, Umetaltil Birshus HaRabim. If a person is standing in Birshus HaYochid, Rashi had said, that's Babayis, in a house in Birshus HaYochid, or Al Hagag, or on a rooftop, which is Birshus HaYochid, and he takes and bends over v'shocha v'notel chayvitz b'shus harabim. He takes something from the b'shus harabim. He's standing in the b'shus hayachid. He doesn't move it to the b'shus hayachid, but he moves it within the b'shus harabim. Kan u'miniach kan, picks it up from point A and brings it to point B in the b'shus harabim. So the Mishnah had said that was permissible as long as he doesn't move it dalet amos. U'bavach lo yotzi chutz, as long as he doesn't take it more than dalet amos. Now, the Gemara begins and says, Hahotzi, that implies that if he would in fact go and carry it more than Dalet Amos in the Rishus HaRabim, even though he's standing in Rishus HaYochid, he'd be Chayv Chatas. That would be a capital crime on Shabbos. If he did it by accident, he'd be Chayv Chatas. So Gemara says, this seems to say, Lema Messiah Leil Rava. This seems to go in accord with what Rava had said previously. We had Rava's statement previously. The Omer Rava, Hamavir Chayvetz Mitchilas Arba, Lesov Arba. If a person takes something from Rishus HaRabim, and he moves it from point A to point B, and that's more than Dalet Amos, even though he wasn't carrying it within the Rishus HaRabim the whole time. Again, the Rishus HaRabim ends at 10 Tvachim. So a person picks up the item at point A, he then carries it, but he's carrying it, let's say, on his shoulder. So his shoulder's well above 10 Tvachim. And then he puts it down at point B, which is more than 4 Amos away from point A. So Rava had told us, even though the Haviro, Derech Olav, even though he carried it above the 10 Tvachim, so it didn't go through the Rishus HaRabim the entire Dalet Amos. It just was going Dalet Amos in total, but not carried through the Rishus HaRabim because it was above Derech Olav. It was above him, nevertheless Chayiv. So our Mishnah seems to be saying the same thing. The person transported it while he's standing in Rishus HaYochid from point A to point B in the Rishus HaRabim, and Mistama, he carried it above 10 Tvachim. As Rashi had said, he was on a rooftop, so therefore he's carrying it above 10 Tvachim. So therefore, this seems to support Rava. So Gemara says, Lav Davka, Mikitani, does it say in the Mishnah, Imhotzi Chayiv Chatos, it said, you're not allowed to go carry it. Ubavach lo yotzi chutz mi'arba amos. However, Hohotzi, it didn't say Chayiv Chatos, that was an implication. So it doesn't say that. It doesn't say, Imhotzi Chayiv Chatos. Maybe it means, if you do it, you're over the Rabbana. Dilma, Imhotzi, Potter, Avalotzer. You're not allowed to do this because the rabbis were concerned that if you do this, you may come to pull it into Rishus HaYochid, you may come to go and carry it Dalet Amos all the way within the Rishus HaRabim. And therefore, maybe in this situation, it's just the implication is that you're not allowed to do this, but if you do it, you're only over in Issa Darabanan, Pater Rava Osir. So you have no raya to Rava. Now we flip it around, and we say the exact same idea, but we ask it as a question on Rava. Why is that? Ikud Yarmay, the alternate version over here, is as follows. Ha Hotzi, Pater Rava Osir. Here we say from the implication of the Mishnah, when we said, Ubim Mishnah, Bavach, Lo Yotzi, Chutz, Me Dalet Amos, you're not allowed to take more than Dalet Amos, so that implies that if you do it, you're only over in Issa Darabanan. Ha Hotzi, Pater Rava Osir. Exactly the opposite of what Rava said, and now it's going to be, Le Matevet Yufta de Rava. Let us say this is now a Shailon Rava. Again, Rava had just said, Yom Rava, Hamavir Nitchilas Dalet Lesov Dalet, the Hever Derech Olav Chayev. Rava had said that if you carry it from point A to point B in the Rishus HaRabim, even though you go above the 10th Tvachim, you're outside the Rishus HaRabim for part of the trip, so to say, as long as you did an Akira and Anocha in the Rishus HaRabim and you traveled more than Dalet Amos, Rava says you're Chayev. It's a Achiv Chatos, which means it's not an implication of Pater Aval Osir, but it actually should have said Chayev Chatos. And therefore, this is a Kashan Rava. So again, the Gemara gives the same terrors that it gave before to show that it's not approved to Rava, so it also shows that it's not a Rai against Rava. It doesn't say Pater Aval Osir. Mikitani Hotzi Pater Aval Osir. The implication isn't specifically stated. It just says Ubuvach Lo Yotzi Chutz. You're not allowed to go take it more than Dalet Amos. It doesn't say what happens if you do. You shouldn't do that. And if you do, guess what? It's not that you're Pater Aval Osir, but Rava would say Dilma Imhotzi Yechayev Chata. So Rava says this is actually a riot to me, not a kash against me. So again, it's the two versions. First one tried to support Rava. Second one tried to make a steer it to Rava. Neither one can be a valid implication. You can argue the other way. Now we quote the Mishnah, and we say, Lo yamod odom Rishus HaYochid v'chule. A person is not allowed to stand in Rishus HaYochid, and we said he can't go and either urinate or spit into the Rishus HaRabim. And on that we said, Omer Rav Yosef says, Hishtin V'rok, if a person, Nehil Vav means or, if he urinated from Mishus HaYochim into Mishus HaRabim, or he spit from Mishus HaYochim into Mishus HaRabim, he'd be chayv chattas. This is actually a real issur d'orais of carrying from Mishus HaYochim, your urine or your spittle is being carried from Mishus HaYochim into Mishus HaRabim, and it'd be a chayv chattas. That's what Rabbi Yosef said. More questions this. It says, V'ho bo'inu nakira v'hanocha mi'al gabi mokom dalet. In order for something to be considered having an akira, you have to pick it up and Anocha, you have to put it down. It has to be what we call a significant space. A significant space is defined as an area that is dalet tfachim by dalet tfachim, as we've learned many times in the Masechta. So therefore, in this situation, if you're doing the akira from your body, from your bladder, it goes out through your urethra, and it goes outside your body, so that's not dalet tfachim by dalet tfachim. Likewise, your mouth, you're spitting out the spittle, so your mouth, even if you have a big mouth, if you don't have a mouth, that's dalet tfachim by dalet tfachim. So therefore, you need to have an akira that is going to be from a place of dalet tfachim by dalet tfachim, v'leka. And in either of these two cases, either coming out from your urine or coming out from the spittle from your mouth, neither of the sources over here are dalet tfachim by dalet tfachim. So how could Rabbi Yosef say that you're chayev v'chattas? Okay, I can understand. Part of Rav Lossi, you're not allowed to do this from the Rabbanon, but who says you're a chayev v'chattas? Shmuel says, no, Rabbi Yosef is correct, because machshavto mishavule mokom, your thought process over here turns this into a significant place. And therefore, even though your bladder and your urethra are not four tefachim by four tefachim, your mouth is not four tefachim by four tefachim, your intending something to happen is making that into a significant place. Rashi points out, all the way towards the top, that's right next to the first line in the Gemara, Rashi says, "Shu tzarich lekach," since you want this to happen, "mashvelo hotzah chashuva." So you're turning this into a hotzah that is considered a chashuv, and therefore that makes it like it was dalet tachem dalet tachem. Tosos adds over here in Dira Masu Machshavto, and he says, "Davko b'chi haygavna," only in this situation, "the nene ba'oso makom tvei mi b'makom acher." You specifically want this over here to occur. That's why the machshava is something that is good, as the Gemara now tells us. The ilote mahochi, if you don't actually say that this is correct, that you can make this machshava, making it to as if it were dalet tfachim by dalet tfachim, then we wouldn't be able to understand what Rava said. Hodon Rava. Rava said elsewhere, zarak, if a person throws something from one point in Rishus HaRabim to another point in Rishus HaRabim, or from Rishus HaYochid into Rishus HaRabim, the noch b'fi akelev o b'fi akivshon, and he tosses it, and instead of it landing on the ground to have a hanocha, it lands in the mouth of a dog. You want to feed your dog, you toss him a chip, a biscuit. Oh, b'fi akivshon, or you want to burn something, so you toss it into the fire, and it gets burnt up by the fire before it hits the ground, or gets eaten by the dog before it hits the ground. Nevertheless, Rava said, the yichai v'chattas. Now, the area of the dog's mouth or the area of the kivshon where it's burned up in the air is not dalet tfachim by dalet tfachim. And if we just said that you need an area to be choshev, either the akira and the hanocha have to be from a place of dalet tfachim by dalet tfachim, v'ha b'inun hanocha agabi mokum dalet tfachim, and you don't have that, v'leka. And therefore, this should not be chayev v'chattos, yet Rava said you chayev v'chattos. El what? Machshavto mishavile mokom. You see here that your intention for it to go into the dog's mouth, into the kivshon, is making it like it was dalet tvachim by dalet tvachim. So too over here in our case, hochanami machshava mishavile mokom. So too in our case, the act of urinating or spitting, so you want that urine to come out, you want that spittle to come out, so that makes the akira to be considered akira that is significant. And that's what Tosus continues in this Dibur HaMaskel Machshavto. He says, you want it there. The nene b'oso makom tfei mi b'makom acher. You want it to go specifically there. It could go b'fi akelev. You want the biscuit that you threw to go into the dog's mouth, she'ochlena, that it should eat it. You want the item that you're throwing into the fire, or b'fi akivshon, she'tisarev. You want it over there, sham. So too, v'chein hishtin v'rok, so too when you're urinating or when you're spitting. You want it to come from the bladder, the urethra. You want it to come from the mouth. In this situation, that's why it's considered a significant machshava. But Tosus points out, Abu Zorak al hamaklos or al shum dover, if you throw it onto some sticks or onto something else, afilu bin skabit, even if you intended it to go over there, you're not getting any benefit from it. You have to get a hana from it. Therefore, in that situation, lo amru machshavto mishav lemokum, you can't say in that situation automatically that it turns it into a significant place. Mori asks the question, Boy Rava, Rava asks, who b'rishus hayochid? What happens if the person is standing in rishus hayochid and he's urinating, but his body is in rishus hayochid, but the place where the urine comes out from, his gid, upi ama, the tip of the urethra, is actually birshus harabim. The point where the urine comes out, you're standing in a way that you're standing in the rishus hayochid, and your glands is standing in the rishus harabim. So where do we view you? Do you view you mahu? Do you view the bladder as where it's coming from, or the tip of the urethra, the end of the penis, is that where it's considered coming from? Now, if you view it from the bladder, from the body point of view, it's the rishus hayochid. If you view it from the tip, so then it's in the rishus harabim, and then you wouldn't be carrying from rishus hayochid into rishus harabim. You're going from rishus harabim into rishus harabim. You're not going more than dalet amos. So Rava asks, what's the halacha? Do we say baser akira aslinim? Do you go after the ikker start point? In other words, where it comes from. The urine is collected in the bladder. It comes from the kidneys down through the ureter, and it comes down into the bladder. So that's all within the rishus hayachid, and therefore we should say that this is a valid akira. Baser akira aslinim. Or do we say no? Or baser yitzia aslinim. You go from the tip of the penis where it comes out, and that's in the rishus harabim, and therefore that would not be considered a carrying from the Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim. It's going from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaRabim less than Dalet Amos. So that's what Rava asks, and the Gemara says, Teiku. We leave this question for Eliyahu HaNavi, Tishbi Yataritz, Kushtus Yabayas, to go and give us the Teretz. Then we quote the Mishnah and said, V'chein lo yaruk, and a person is likewise not allowed to go and spit from the Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim, but Rabbi Yehuda Omer, V'chule. That in the Mishnah review that qualified this and said that even if a person is just walking in the Rishus HaRabim and the spit had come out of his salivary glands and it's in his mouth, if the spit is dislodged from the salivary glands and you're walking Dalet Amos in the Rishus HaRabim, that's called carrying it because the spittle is no longer considered part of your body. That's what review that said. Gemara says, this is true, it seems from a Mishnah, Afo gav lo hafik ba, even though you didn't go and move it about. What does it mean, lo hafik ba? So Rashi says, this is a Lashon Bismiyah. The Gemara is asking a question here. Even though we have forgot the low hefach, the mishum tlisha l'chude, just the fact that it came out of your salivary glands and it's in your mouth, that is enough to be considered that you're carrying it. Amar Yehuda, the osur lemefak, even though you didn't move it around in your mouth, so to say, it just came out of your salivary glands and you didn't do anything within your mouth, you didn't move it about in your mouth, that is still considered that you're carrying it. So that seems to be what Rabbi Yehuda is saying. More questions this, and says, well, it's none. We have a Mishnah in Kalim. Note that I point out that it's a Mishnah, because later on, the Rabbeinu Chananel is going to suggest that maybe this is a Braisa, and it says on the bottom in a footnote of the Rabbeinu Chananel over here, that it says that it's Mashmim B'Lashonim the Braisa he, but he says it really is a Mishnah of a Tzorach Iyun. So it'll be a question on the Rabbeinu Chananel who says that the Girsa here is V'Hotanya, but we'll keep the Girsa of V'Hotnan, that it's a Mishnah in Kalim. Hoya'ochel Duvela, if a person's eating a Duvela, a dvela is a bunch of figs. Rashi points out these figs are shel truma. That's very important because then we're concerned with tormentara. Regular food, we are concerned somewhat with tormentara, but it's not going to be a problem usually. So if a person was eating these figs, these dvela of truma, and his hands be a dayim suavos, his hands are tome, midrabanan, and therefore, if he were to touch something with his hands, it would be able to be metame down one step further. If his hands are a sheni, so then he could be metame the truma to a shlishi level. But that's only if the item that he's touching is mukshal kabel tuma. You have to remember that in order for something to become capable of accepting tuma, it has to become mukshal kabel tuma. It has to have been touched with one of the seven liquids, the mnemonic yad shoch adam that we've spoken about many times before. One of the seven liquids have to come into contact with, and as the Pasuk Yishmini tells us, v'chiyutan, it has to be with intention that you want it over there. And in that situation, the item can now accept tumah if it comes into contact with tumah. So if this person was eating these dvela, these figs of tumah, and his hands were misu'abos, so they were shady, v'hichdis yado l'soch piv, and he sticks his hands into his mouth to take out some sort of like a little stone, a little splinter, something in between his teeth, and he ends up touching the dvela. Now, his hands are sheni, he's touching the figs. That would make them into shlishi. There is a concept of shlishi by truma that would make this no longer able to be eaten. So what's the halacha? Remei metame. Remei says the figs became tame and he's not allowed to eat them. Now you see here that they were mukshal lekabel tuma by the saliva that he had in his mouth. Otherwise, how did they become mukshal lekabel tuma? Rabbi Yossi says, no, they're not going to be capable of becoming tamei. As Rashi says, the kusavar, kosman sharok besoch piv, as long as the saliva was just in his mouth, lav mashkehu, it doesn't have the status of being a mashke, a liquid that could be metame to make it moshul kabel tuma. Vahru kagufu shalodim, they no mashir, and it's like his body, and therefore it's not making it moshul kabel tuma. So Rabbi Meir says, the spittle is mukshar lekabel tumah, and Rav Yossi says it's not. Period. Now we have the compromise sheet, Rav Yehuda Omer, and that's what we're interested in here, because Rav Yehuda was the one that made the statement in the Mishnah that just walking Dalet Amos with spittle in your mouth makes you carrying, even though you didn't hefuch, but even though you didn't move it about. Rav Yehuda Omer, it depends. In this situation with the figs, if you move the spittle around, so it's now considered halachically dislodged, and therefore it is considered capable of being a liquid, it's not part of your body, and it's machshirat lekabel tuma, so then, when your hands touch these now mukshar lekabel tuma figs in your mouth, tome. However, lo hifich bo, if you didn't move the spittle around, so then, tar, it doesn't have the capability of being making you mukshar lekabel tuma. The figs being mukshal kabel tumah. So here's a stira. In our Mishnah, we seem to say, afagad lo hafuch bay. And here, Rav Yehuda, in the Mishnah in Kalim, says, it has to be hafuch bay, or else it's not considered dislodged. So seems to be a stira between our Mishnah over here and the Mishnah in Kalim. So Rav Yochan says, mukhlevas ashita. Now, the Rabbeinu Hanano says, it means what it always does. Mukhlevas ashita is switch it around. Say that Rav Yehuda is the one that says that Rav Meir, like Rav Meir, has metame, and Rav Meir was the one that said hivi bo tame, lo hivi bo tar. That's the normal way. Mukhlevas hashita, you switch around who said what. However, Rashi over here says that that's not the case. Rashi says hichlif Rav Yehuda shitaso. Rav Yehuda changed his mind. V'yotso heimena. While he originally said that you do not have to have it dislodged, even just having it coming out of the salivary glands and staying in one place, so to say, lo hifuch ba is enough to make you over. But then he changed his mind and said here in Kalim that no, unless you are hifuch ba, it's not considered that it left your body. So that's what Rashi says over here means mukhlevas hashita. If Yehuda changed his opinion, not that we switch around the opinion like the Rabbeinu Hananel says of Rav Yehuda and Rav Meir. That's the terrors of Rav Yochanan. No, leave things the way they are. And what are we dealing over here with our Mishnah? Bikicho. Here we're talking about not that the person had saliva, but he had kicho. Kicho is normally translated as phlegm. So we're dealing here not with saliva. Now, phlegm is not a normal part of the body. So whenever it comes out, it's considered significant. So therefore, if you're carrying the Dalet Amos phlegm in your mouth, so even if it didn't get dislodged, that's considered significant. Even lo hifach ba, you'd be chayv. That's why Yehuda says so in our Mishnah. But in the Mishnah in Kalim, so the situation there is talking about saliva. Saliva, unless you're hifach ba, it's not going to be considered dislodged from your body. So that's how Reish Lakish reconciles the two. One is talking about kicho, our Mishnah, and the Mishnah in Kalim is talking about saliva. Mor says, really? But Tanya, we have another brisa, and this brisa says, Yehuda Omer, kicho v'nitlash. It says, kicho and it's nitlash, implying, my love, rok also v'nitlash. Doesn't the rok also have to be v'nitlash? It seems to be comparing kicho and rok in this brisa. Mor says, lo, lav davka, kicho v'nitlash is separate. Who says it has anything to do with rok? The kicho is automatically by itself considered as if you're walking with it, it's considered dislodged, but the roke is not automatically considered dislodged. Only if you move it about in your mouth is it considered dislodged. That's the simple way to understand this. There are a lot of different gear souls over here. They all basically come to the same conclusion that we make a difference between kicho and roke, exactly as Reish Lakish had said. So the Gemara now says, Tanya again, Bakasha on Reish Lakish. The Gemara says, we have another Braisa, Yehuda Omer. Yehuda tells us, kicho shenitlash. Some are encouraged the word over here, shenitlash. They just have kicho v'chein roko shenitlash. In any event, here it seems to definitely, in this brisa, compare kicho and roko to say that they don't need to be dislodged. They're considered halachically to be dislodged just by coming out, exactly like Rav Yehuda said in our Mishnah, but not like Reish Lakish, kasha on Reish Lakish. As the brisa says, lo yahalach dalet amos ad sheyorok, you're not allowed to go carry it dalet amos, exactly like we explained in the Mishnah, but it's akasha on Reish Lakish and akasha from the Mishnah in Kalim. So Gemara says, you're right, Taka Reish Lakish is wrong. Ela Machmarta, the right teretz is Kiddushanina Meikara, like Rav Yochanan. Either Rashi, he changed his opinion. He originally said it didn't have to be dislodged, but then he said, no, it does have to be dislodged. You have to move it about in your mouth, hefech ba only. And according to the Rabbeinu Hanano, no, that you have to flip it around. And that in the Mishnah in Kalim, Rav Yehuda was the one that said that you don't have to go and move it about. That was Rav Meir's opinion, but that's really Rav Yehuda, and Rav Meir said, like Rav Yehuda. Machvarta kideshin reikar. Rav Yochanan's teretz is right. Now the Gemara says, "I'm Reish Lakish." Reish Lakish said, "Kiach bifnei rabo." If a person were to have this phlegm coming out of him from his in front of his Rebbe, chayv misa. If you have this expectoration of phlegm in front of your Rebbe, that is a terrible thing to do, and it's so terrible, you chayv misa. The person who expectorates this phlegm in front of his Rebbe, he's chayv misa. Shenemar, based upon the pasuk, kol misanai ohavu moves. All those who hate me, in other words, they hate HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah, so then kol misanai ohavu moves. They obviously love death. What does that mean? Al tikri lemisnai, or al tikri, some of the gears saw misanoi, elo masnii, lemasnii, those who cause people to hate the Torah. If people see that a Talmud Chacham, clearly an Orthodox Jew, does these disgusting things like expectorating the spittle, so then that's a terrible, terrible thing to do, and it's going to cause people to say, ah, that's disgusting, that's the way Jews act, ah, I don't want to be a Jew, I don't want to have anything to do with the Jews. So therefore, it causes people to hate the Torah. So therefore, that's what it means. But more questions is, he said, but the poor guy, he had a cough, he had some phlegm. So what was he supposed to do? For a main that's honest. He didn't intentionally want to cough up this phlegm. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu made him do. He's an onus over here. He has to cough up some stuff. He has some lung problem. So Gemara says, no, you're right. If he had just the expectoration and didn't spit it in front of his Rebbe. So he had this cough and he brought up some phlegm and he took out a kerchief and spit it into the kerchief, or he turned to the side and didn't spit in front of his Rebbe. You're right, then it would be main asonis and nobody would be upset. What the guy did over here was kiach, he brought up this expectorated sputum and then he expectorated it, the rock, and he spit it out right in front of his Rebbe, Kamrina. That's disgusting. And that is what Reish Lakish was talking about. If you go and you bring up this phlegm and you spit right in front of your Rebbe, that's terrible. That's Gilu Chayav Misa, because that's a disgusting act. Because you're causing people to say, that's the way Talmid Chacham actually spits in front of his Rebbe. Yach, this is disgusting. These Talmid Chacham, they're terrible. But if a person goes to the side and then he spits it out into a spittoon, or he goes and takes a kerchief, a handkerchief, and he spits into the handkerchief, so then that is allowed. Next Mishnah. Lo ya'amod odom b'rishus ha'yochid v'yishteh b'rishus ha'rabim. Person shouldn't stand in the rishus ha'yochid and drink water from a well in the rishus ha'rabim. This well obviously has the status of not being a rishus ha'yochid. It's not enclosed. It's just a well in the rishus ha'rabim. And therefore, you're not allowed to stand in the rishus ha'yochid and drink from this well in rishus ha'rabim unless, as we'll see in a moment, you move your whole body into the rishus ha'rabim. Likewise, rishus ha'rabim, you're not allowed to stand in the rishus ha'rabim and try to drink from a well that isn't closed, that is considered the Rishus HaYochid, the Yishta Rishus HaYochid. Because again, in each of these situations, we're concerned that you're going to pull your body back and you're going to carry the water from the well into the place where you are, and whichever one it was, the Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim, Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYochid, you're going to be carrying, and that would be something that we're concerned about. So the rabbi said, don't do this. They made a gzeira. Unless you go and bring your entire body into that area. So if you're standing outside in Rishus HaYochid, bring your whole body into the well with Rishus HaRabim. Or if you're standing outside in Rishus HaRabim, bring your whole body inside into the well in Rishus HaYochid, then it's allowed. And then the Mishnah makes an enigmatic statement, and it says, V'chein b'gas, the same halacha applies in regards to a press. A gas is where you press the grapes and make them into wine. So we'll see in the Gemara exactly what this means. Does it mean, yeah, the same halacha applies in a gas that you're not allowed to drink the wine from Rishus HaYochid into a wine press of Rishus HaRabim, or vice versa, or does it mean something else, which the Gemara will say, it means something else. It will be talking about Maaser. Do you have to take off Maaser or not if you're drinking in this fashion? But we'll get to that in the Gemara. If you're having a little trouble imagining what this looks like, you can see in the Pirush Chai diagram number 22 on page 216, the person bending over and drinking from the wine press. Rashi over there says it's a gas chotzuv besela, that it is a wine press that is hollowed out from a rock. So now we start off with the question in the Gemara. Gemara says, Reisha Rabbanon. Now, we had this a little bit at the end of yesterday's year, a similar idea. Is it all the single series of Mishnayos that we have over here, that it doesn't state who says them? Are they all the opinion of Rav Meir? Rav Meir is going to give us a named statement that we're going to have in the Mishnah in 2 days here on Daf Kuf Aleph, and there it says it's Divrei Rav Meir. So do we say that all of these Mishnayos beforehand are also Rav Meir? That's what we said at the end of yesterday's Shia. So here the Gemara questions, Reisha Rabbanon. We had proven that the beginning part, yesterday's Shia, was actually talking about the opinion of the Rabbanon, that a person is allowed to go and move, we said, something from the Rishus HaYochid. He's allowed to stand there and move something in the Rishus HaRabim. And we said that as long as you don't move it down the Dalai Lama, it's okay. And Rebbe Meir said, no, you can't do that, and the Chacham said, you can. So we learned that the first Mishnah in this series is the opinion of the Rabbanan. The Seifa is Rebbe Meir. The very last one, Daf Kuf Aleph, is going to be Rebbe Meir. So is our Mishnah over here also Rebbe Meir? That's the Gemara's question. Do we say that the two Mishnahis are together? Mestama, our Mishnah is also Rebbe Meir. That's the Gemara's question. So the Gemara answers, Amar Rav Yosef, Bechafetzin Shetzrichin Lo, V'Divrei. No, our Mishnah is not a machlokas between Rav Meir and the Chachamim. Our Mishnah is L'Kuli Yama. Our Mishnah is, when you're dealing here with the water, which is something that is very much needed, so then everybody agrees. As Rashi points out, the Rashi is found on the first of the wider lines all the way at the bottom of the Rashi. Afilu Rabbanan Modu. Even the rabbis over here, Amoda, they agree with Rav Meir. The Gazabu here, we do make a Gzeira. The Mitoch Shu Tzorech Lachem, since you need these waters, Yachnisim Etzel, we're concerned that you're going to bring it to you. And if we don't make you drink it all the way with your whole body into this other Rishos, we're concerned that by accident you're going to bring the water out. Hilkach, Mashkin Halalu, Tzrichin Lo, because we know. Therefore, even the Chacham say like Rav Meir that you're not allowed to stay in the Rishos HaYochid and move something in the Rishos HaRabim. So this isn't the opinion only of Rav Meir, this would even be the Chacham, because this water is so necessary that here even the rabbis are concerned that you're going to do this. The Gemara asks the question, they ask in Beis Medrash, Karmel Ismai. What happens if instead of you standing in Rosh Hashanah Yochid versus the Rosh Hashanah and the wells in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, or Rosh Hashanah Rabbim and the wells in Rosh Hashanah Yochid, if you're allowed to stand in a Carmelis and drink from either Rosh Hashanah Yochid or Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, or vice versa, if you're standing in the Rosh Hashanah Yochid or Rosh Hashanah Rabbim and you want to drink from a well that's a Carmelis? In other words, we're not dealing here with Rosh Hashanah Yochid into Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, which is in this of the Raisa, but we're only dealing with, at worst, carrying from a Rosh Hashanah Yochid into a Carmelis, or vice versa, or from a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim into a Karmelis, or vice versa, which again are only Yisurim the Rabbanon. Midarais, you'd be allowed to do this. So that's what they ask in the Beis Medrash. Does the din change over here, the Kuli Yama Lo Pligi, that everybody say you're not allowed to do this, if we're dealing with a Karmelis? So Amar Abaya, Abaya says exactly the same. The rabbis were just as concerned over here, because this is something that we said is Bechefetzin Hatzrichin Lo, and therefore the rabbis would make the same Gezer over here, even though it is only a Midarabbanon that you could be over in the worst case. So Rava questions that. I'm a Rava. The whole din that you're not allowed to move something from Rosh Hashanah Yochid, where you're standing in Rosh Hashanah Yochid and you're moving something in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, the whole point of Rav Meir is that that's a gzeira, because you may come to pull it into the Rosh Hashanah Yochid. So he goofed gzeira. The whole thing over here is a gzeira. You're standing in the Rosh Hashanah Yochid and drinking from the well in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So we say you don't do that because you may come to pull the water back with you. That's a gzeira. So therefore, that's why when you're dealing with the Daraisa, we make a gzeira. So we should make another gzeira over here. If this is a din d'rabbanan in the first place, from a Carmelist to Rosh Hashanah Yochid, a Carmelist to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, or vice versa. So we should make a gzeira on that. That's a gzeira l'gzeira. And we don't normally do that. We don't make gzeiros to protect the d'rabbanan. So we shouldn't be making a gzeira over here if it's a Carmelist. So Abaye, you're wrong. Abaye says, no, I'm right. I'm Abaye. I'll show you that I'm right. Me diktali, from the following Mishnah. We turn to the Omid Beis. What does this Mishnah say? Our Mishnah. It says, V'chein begas. Our Mishnah said, the same halacha applies by a gas. If a person is drinking in the Rosh Hashanah Yochid and he's standing over the gas, Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, or vice versa, he's standing in the Rosh Hashanah Yochid, a Rabbim, and the gas is a Rosh Hashanah Yochid, so you have to be totally your head and shoulders inside the area of the wine press in order not to be over. So we make a gzeir over there. Now Rashi puts out, what's the question over here? He says, the Hotone Le'Reisha. This would be the exact same case as the Reisha. So therefore, why are you telling it to me? Oh, Elolah, Begas Karmelis, Kigon Sheina, Gvo Yud. You know what the Chiddush is of Mishnah? Is it the same din applies? It tells us first in Rosh Hashanah Yochid, Rosh Hashanah Rabbim situation with the well, and then it tells us a similar din in regards to Rosh Hashanah Yochid and a Carmelis, Rosh Hashanah Rabbim and a Carmelis. So therefore, V'chein Begas is a riot to me. Why would it have to tell me V'chein Begas if it's the exact same scenario as the Reisha? Oh, it must be. V'chein Begas is talking about a Carmelis. Oh, it's the answer. Rabbi says, that's my proof. Rava disagrees. Rava Omar, Rava says, no. The chayin, the gas, has nothing to do with the scenario of the first situation, that you're going to carry the water out and bring it to there. It's not a din of carrying. The din of the chayin, the gas, Rav Amar Linyan Meiser. This is a din that before something becomes a full-fledged eating or drinking, what we call achilas keva or a shesias keva, so before it becomes that, if it's only an achila saray or a shtia saray, you don't have to take off chumas and maises. A guy that's working out in the field and he's picking grapes, he'll have to put a grape in his mouth without going and making a hefrish of chumas and maises on that grape. So too, in the gas, you don't have to necessarily take off Trumas and Maestros under the following situations. That's what it means, V'chein B'gas. V'chein Rav Sheshes. And Rav says, not only me, V'chein Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes said the same thing. V'chein B'gas L'nyan Maaser. If you're drinking in the wine press, you don't have to take off Trumas and Maestros. That's called a Shesias Aroy, a temporary eating, a transitory type of eating, which doesn't yet obligate it in Trumos and Maestros. And where do we see this from? The Tanan, because we have a Mishnah in Maestros that exactly states this. It says in the Mishnah over there, Shosin Alagas, a person is allowed to drink in the wine press. And this is true, even if they, again, they had raw wine, which they always diluted, they poured in. We have the classical dilution of rubber. It's a 3-to-1 ratio. You put in 3 parts water to 1 part wine. So there's another opinion that says 2 parts water to 1 part wine, so you're diluting it. So the person is allowed to drink the wine from the gas, even though he diluted it. Whether he diluted it, bein b'chamin or bein b'tzonin, whether he put in some hot water or he put in cold water, upater, he's allowed to drink this, and he doesn't have to take off Trumas and Maaser before he drinks this, divrei Rav Meir. That's the opinion of Rav Meir. On the other hand, Rabbi Lezer Bar Tzadok says, no, miyuchayev. When you go and dilute it, that turns it into something that's now mechuyev in Trumas and Maaser. And therefore, you're not allowed to drink it in the wine press, even though you diluted it in the wine press. If you want to drink it, you got to take off Trumas and Maaser. The fact that you diluted it makes it into a shesias keva. And the chum have a compromise situation. The chum remember, it depends. If you added hot water, then you chayev. Because when you add hot water, you can't pour it back into the wine press, anything that you left over, because it will ruin it. So therefore, if you have hot water added to it, that makes it into a shesias keva, and you have to take off Trumas and Maaser. But if you only added cold water, if you don't finish it off, you can pour it back into the wine press. Because here, there's no problem in returning the cold water. It won't ruin what's back in the wine press. So therefore, it's still considered an achilas aroi. Or Shesias Aroy. So here you clearly see, that's what it says in the Mishnah according to Rava and to Rav Sheshes. V'chein B'gas is not dealing with carrying from Rishus HaYochin to Rishus HaRabim, it's dealing with the halachos of Maestros. And it tells us a similar idea, that there are going to be concerns with a wine press similar to the concerns with the well when the person's standing in another Rishus. So therefore, it's no raya to Abaye. And our Mishnah goes according to the opinion of Rav Meir that says, you're potter, v'chein b'gas, that you're potter, you don't have to be concerned about it. As long as your whole head and body are in there, you don't have to be concerned about it. No raya to abai. Next Mishnah. Kol leit odo min ha-maschila l'matam yutfachim. A person is allowed to go and collect water from a gutter. Now, maschila is like they had flat roofs, and the water would roll off their roofs, and it would go into these gutter systems, like we have leaders and gutters, and then the water would flow off the gutter, and it would flow into the ground underneath it. So you're standing in the ground underneath this rooftop, and you're in the Rishus HaRabim. You're allowed to go and hold up some sort of a jug, a container, and catch the water when the water comes within 10 tefachim of the ground. Now this is what Rashi says outside. I'll show it to you inside. Read the first Rashi in the Mishnah. It says, the person is standing lamatam yut tefachim. He is in the Rishus HaRabim, and the water is flowing in the Rishus HaRabim, and it's coming in within 10 tefachim of the Rishus HaRabim. Gagin shalahen chalokin hayu. Their rooftops were flat. Chalokin means smooth. The tochim betit, and they were tarred, and the water could easily flow off them. Umarzovim kitanim harbei hayu legag, and there were these channels in the rooftops lahotzi amayim to get the water off the roof, because otherwise the water would pool over there. So the nosen, these grooves in the roof, would go and bring the water to the gutters. The nosen lamatamihem, and they would come off into one specific area. They would put some sort of a board over there, kineged orech hakosel, b'shipua, that would go and come down off the rooftop on a slant. And you can see pictures of this in the Pirush Chai on page 216, in diagram number 23. You can also see this in the Illustrated Gemara on page 116, in diagram number 346. And then the water would flow off. B'chol ma'azav, m'sholchen, alov, and the water would go flow down through these gutters, and it would go to one place, so you wouldn't have puddles all over the place. Shelo yaziku esakosa, that it shouldn't go and damage the wall by having water right by the foundation of the wall, so it would send it further away from the wall and not ruin the wall. And here, omid other mishus harabim, person standing in mishus harabim, v'kolit b'chli lamatam yutvachim, and he's holding it onto a kli that is lower than 10 tefachim from the ground, min hamayim hayardim min hamaschila, and he collects the water that's flowing off of this gutter, v'kolit dafka, and here we see it must be that he's holding this kli and collecting the water after it flows off the gutter, and not that he puts the kli right next up to the gutter, like you can see the Pirush Chai on page 216 in diagram number 24. Or you can see this in the Illustrated Gemara on page 116 in diagram number 348. That's called Mitzarif. Avalo Yitzarif, Piv. You can't put your mouth there or Kli, Lemaschila, right up against it. You have to let it flow off it into the Rishus HaRabim, but you can't put your Kli right up against it or your mouth right up against it. That's called Mitzarif, and that's not allowed. So therefore, this is what the Mishnah is telling us. You're allowed to do this. Likewise, the next part of the Mishnah, uminatzinar, from a pipe. Now, the pipe is a little bit different. The pipe comes down. You can see this in the Pirush Chai on page 217, diagram number 25. Or you can see this in the Illustrated Gemara on page 116, diagram number 347. Here you have a pipe coming off. Instead of just the water flowing off the gutter, you have a pipe coming off, and the pipe goes down. Uminatzinar, the pipe goes all the way down into the Rishus HaRabim. There, you can go and take it directly with your mouth to put the kli right directly over there. Mikol makom shosa. You can do this directly as opposed to the maschila. You have to do it from a distance. You have to let it flow down into the Rishus HaRabim. Here you can do it directly from the end of the pipe. And that's because the end of the pipe is different. It's in the Rishus HaRabim as opposed to the flow over here of the gutter. It's up there by the Rishus HaYochid. That's the difference that the Gemara will explain. So Gemara says, kolate in, avol mitzarif flow. In the first case, you're allowed to put the bucket down somewhere below within 10 tefachim of the Rishus HaRabim, so the water will flow into it, but you can't put the bucket all the way up by the top, by the gutter. That's not allowed. Avol mitzarif flow. So my time, what's the reasoning? I already explained most of this outside. The Gemara says here, Amr of Nachman, Hocha, we're dealing with the Maschila, Pachos Megimel, Somach Legaraskina. That we're talking about that you're putting the bucket within 3 tefachim of the gutter, and in this situation, the kol pachos begin with somach legag kegag dami. So therefore, by the principle of lavud, it's as if it's on the gag, and the gag is just a yachid, and you're standing in just a rabbim. That's why it's not allowed to be done. And this explanation is correct, as we learned in a brisa. Tani nami yachid, because the brisa says exactly the same thing. Omid adam rishus hayachid, a person is allowed to stand in the rishus hayachid, umagbia yado lemala measar tefachim, and he can lift his hand up more than 10 tefachim from where he is. Let's say he's on a rooftop. That's one of the things that Rashi said in the Mishnah, as I brought down. Omid Adam, a person is standing on this rooftop, and he sticks his hand up, or he's on the ground, and he sticks his hand up, and he reaches to the next rooftop, and he's within 3 tefachim of the gutter up there, for kolet, and he's allowed to go and do this directly from the gutter. But he can't put it directly up against the gutter, because in that situation, he would be transferring from the Rishus HaYochid that he's in and collecting it from that Rishus HaYochid. And that's the simple way to understand this, that you're not allowed to go and transfer me the Rabbanon from one Rishus HaYochid to another Rishus HaYochid. Others have the gears over here that he's standing in Rishus HaRabim, and this makes it a little bit more likely that we make such a gzeira for a potential Issa Daraisa. But the simple reading that we have over here is from one Rishus HaYochid to another Rishus HaYochid. That's a brisa in support of this idea that you can't go put it directly up against it, because it would be considered then as if it was within 3 tefachim, it's lavud to the gutter. Tani yidach, another brisa says, lo yamid adam b'rishus hayochid, a person not understanding b'rishus hayochid, v'yagbi yodol l'mal nesar tefachim, and raises his hand up more than 10 tefachim from where he is, l'pachos b'gimul somach l'gag v'yitzarev, and go and do this, put it directly up against it within 3 tefachim. However, avokoli luvishosa, but he's allowed to carry, put the bucket in the air and let the water flow into the bucket. Again, that's the exact same thing. All in support of what Rav Nachman said. Finally, we said in the Mishnah, minatzinar mikol makom shosa, but if you have a pipe that goes all the way down, you're allowed to drink from it directly. Yitzar, if you can put the bucket right there, or you can actually put your mouth right there and drink from it directly. Tana, we learned in the Braisa, however, if the tzinor is a separate rishus by itself, it's dalad by dalad tvachim, so then you wouldn't be allowed to, because now it is a separate rishus. It's not subordinate to the rishus that you're in. If you're standing in rishus harabim, and this is a rishus hayochid, because it's dalad by dalad tvachim, so then that would not be allowed. That would be transferred from one rishus to another. Next Mishnah. Bor b'rishus harabim, if you have a pit that's in the rishus harabim, the chuyoso gavoyu tvachim. We'll see later on, this is a discussion, according to some of what we had previously, that you can combine the depth of the pit with the walls of the pit, the banked up part of the pit, to make the 10 tefachim necessary to have the height of a Rishus HaYochid, to make it a separate mechitza, to say that the bar is a separate entity. So you have this bar that's located in a Rishus HaRabim, but the chuyaso, the embanked up dirt around the pit, you dug out this pit and you put up the dirt all around it. Again, if you're having trouble imagining this, you can see this in the Pirush Chai on page 217 in diagram number 29, or in the Illustrated Gemara on page 117 in diagram number 349. So you have this heaped up pit. The bank of the pit is higher than 10 tvachim, gavo yud tvachim. So chalon shal gabav, in this pit, is next to a house, and you have a window extending out from the house, shal gabav, that's higher above the pit, memalanim and mishabes. You're allowed to go and draw through the window, taking a bucket, go through this window, as you can see in the diagrams that I just mentioned, and this is perfectly acceptable to go and draw the water up from the pit, which is Rishus HaYachid, your Rishus HaYachid, into your house, which is Rishus HaYachid. You're allowed to go and do this on Shabbos. Chalon shal gabav memalanim and mishabes. Similarly, if you have an ashpa is a garbage dump, Rishus HaRabim, that's below your window in the Rishus HaRabim, but it's Gavo Yotvachim, so it's no longer Rishus HaRabim. It's higher than 10 Tvachim, so anything that you put on the top of it is considered being in a Rishus HaYachid. So you have a Chalon Shal Gabav, you again have a window on top of this, and you want to dump stuff into this ashpa on Shabbos from your window. So Shechon Shal Gabav, you're allowed to go, Shofchin L'socha Mayim B'Shabbos, you are allowed to go take water and pour it into this garbage dump on Shabbos. It's considered going from your Rishus HaYachid into another Rishus HaYachid. That's your Rishus HaYachid, and therefore you're allowed to do this. And you can see a diagram of this on page 218 in the Pirush Chai in diagram number 30. So, the Gemara now starts and says, B'mayiskin, what exactly are we talking about? Where exactly is this pit in our first scenario in the Mishnah located? Ilema b'smucha, if you're saying it's right next to the wall of the house, and therefore the window is directly above the pit, so then what's the question? Ilema b'smucha, if it's right there, lo melichu yayud, then why do I need to have the pit have a dimension of being a separate Rishus HaYachid because it has a mechitza of yud tvachim? After all, there's no Rishus HaRabim in between, because if it's less than dalat tvachim, so then if it's smucha, so then there's no Rishus HaRabim over there. So why would I need anything else? So Amar Rav Huna, Hachamai Eskin, you know what we're talking about, B'muflagis min HaKosel Arba. You're right, it's more than Dalat Tvachim away, so then that area between the pit and the wall is Rishus HaRabim, and if you were to go and not have this pit as a separate mechitza, and therefore a separate Rishus HaYachid, so then you'd be putting your bucket through a Rishus HaRabim and returning the water, and that wouldn't be allowed. The time of the Gechu Yasar, the reason it's allowed is because you have the wall that's 10 Tvachim. It's a Mechitza making into Rishus HaYachid. Haleka Chu Yasara, if you didn't have a wall there of 10 Tvachim, Kometalta Rishus HaYachid, Rishus HaYachid, Derech Rishus HaRabim. So then, even though the pit goes all the way down, so the pit is a Rishus HaYachid by itself, but then if you're not having a 10 Tefach Mechitza above the ground, so then your bucket is going through the Rishus HaRabim as you're going to bring it into the pit. So you're going from Rishus HaYachid, your window, your house, to the Rishus HaYachid, the pit, because its depth is 10 Tvachim, but if it doesn't have also a 10 Tvachim wall around it, the banked up part, so then you're actually going with the bucket through Rishus HaRabim. And that you're not allowed to do. That's what Rav Huna says. Teretz number one. However, Rav Yochanan gives a different teretz. Rav Yochanan Amar, afilu tema b'smucha. Even you could say, no, it is adjacent to the house. And not like Rav Huna said that it's dealing with more than four tvachim away. So then why is it a problem? Why is it called the Rishus HaRabim if it's less than four tvachim away? So the chiddush of Rav Yochanan is hakamashvulon debor v'chul yosel mitzdar from asar. No, the whole chiddush over here is what we had previously, the whole question and discussion. Can you combine the depth of the pit and the embankment, the height, banking of the dirt around the pit to make the total of 10 tvachim to make it into Rishus HaYochid? So Rav Yochanan is telling us the chiddush of the Mishnah is, yeah, then you can do that. Then we had in the Sefer of the Mishnah, we said the ashpa Rishus HaRabim chule. We brought down that if a person has this ashpa outside his house, and it's right underneath his window, but it's more than 10 tvachim tall, so you're allowed to dump your water out from the house onto the ashpa. You can throw stuff there because it's going from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaYachid. And the Gemara says, we're not concerned. The lo chashin on shem otinot al ashpa. Maybe the ashpa is going to get removed. And if the ashpa gets removed, so then you're throwing it into a Rishus HaRabim. If the ashpa gets diminished below 10 tvachim, so when you're pouring it out, now you're pouring it into Rishus HaRabim. How come we're not concerned about that? I'll show you that we are concerned about it in another case. And we had this early in the Masechta. We had the case, the whole Ravin bar Rav Ada, Amar Rav Yitzchak, Ravin bar Rav Ada said in the name of Rav Yitzchak that there once was a Maisa with a Mavui. This Mavui is enclosed on three sides. So you have an open side at one end with a Lechi or a Korah mattering this Mavui. And in the back end, you have a wall. And then on one side of this Mavui is one of the walls, let's say the left wall, Maisa B'Mavui Echod, Shetzido Echod Kol Yam. On one side, you have a river, or a yam, an ocean, or body of water. Shetzido Echod Kol Yashpa. And the other side, you have a garbage dump. You have this ashpa. And those are the two sides of the Mavui. Again, you can see this in the art scroll in footnote number 16 of the diagram there. Or you can see this in the Illustrated Gemara on page 117, diagram number 350. And we had this previously in the Pirish Chai, where this was discussed earlier. In any event, what he's telling us over here is, if you have this Ashpa that is functioning as one of the walls of the Mavui, can you go and carry within this Mavui? Does the Ashpa function as a wall? And they asked Rebbe this question, but Maiselefe Rebbe, can you carry here or not? He didn't want to permit it, but he didn't want to say it's Osir. Why? He didn't want to say it's permissible to count on this Ashpa as the wall of the Mavui, because you know what? Because he was concerned that you're going to go and remove this Ashpa, some of the garbage in it, and it's going to go less than 10 Tvachim. So you see that we are concerned. That's the whole question. You see that Rebbe was concerned. Why did he make it Osir? So the Gemara says, he's likewise concerned with Yam Sirton. He was also concerned on the other side, which is not our Indian right now, but we'll mention it, that the silt would come in, and there would be a whole bunch of diminution of the depth of the river. And again, you can see this very clearly in the diagram in the Illustrated Gemara on page 117, diagram number 351. So you're losing the 10 tefach depth of the river. It's a slow slope, and therefore it's not considered a wall. So he was concerned about this. So that's why he didn't permit you to carry this wall. But why didn't he say it's Osir? Isilo Amarbo, the whole Kaimina Mechitzos, because right now it has Mechitzos, so he didn't want to say it's Osir. So what do you see here? The Kasha, the Mishnah, the Lo Chayshin and Shemati Notalashva, you should be concerned about removing the garbage over here, and therefore you shouldn't be allowed to go and dump your water into there, because maybe somebody's going to remove some of the garbage, it's going to be less than 10 Tvachim, and you're throwing from your house, Rishus HaYochid, into the Ashpa Rishus HaRabim. Shmuel says, Lo Kasha, that's not a problem. You know why? Hod the Yochid, Hod the Rabim. The case where Rebbe was concerned was it was a personal, private ashpa. And yeah, you have to be concerned. The person will take away his garbage. He says, hey, I want to have a picnic out here. I'm going to clear out my garbage area and now use it as a picnic area. So that you have to be concerned about. But if it's a public garbage dump, it's not going to change. No individual is going to come and change it. This is the public garbage dump, and therefore you don't have to be concerned. Chayshin on Shematinot al Ashpa, and that's what our Mishnah is talking about. We'll just start the next Mishnah and a little bit of the Gemara, and then we'll conclude today's share. So we begin the next Mishnah. Ilan Shaya Mesach al Ha'aretz. You have a large tree that has branches and leaves that are basically forming like a mushroom around the tree. They're covering up the ground around the tree because the branches and leaves extend down. They go up and then they go down. They form like a mushroom around the tree. And in this situation, im ein nofel gavo min aretz shlosha tfachim, if the branches are reaching the ground, or within three tfachim of the ground, the leaves and the branches come down, so then it's basically an enclosed area. And in this situation, metaltun tachtav, you'll have to go carry underneath this entire area. You can see diagrams of this in the Pirush Chai on page 218, diagram number 31, and in the Illustrated Gemara on page 118, diagram number 352. The Mishnah continues and says, Sharashav Gavoim in Aretz Gimel Tvachim, if the roots of the tree that comes out of the ground, it goes up more than three Tvachim, so then it's considered no longer on the ground. If the roots are below three Tvachim, they come up off the ground a little bit, and you can see examples of this again in the Pirush Chai on page 218, diagram number 32 and number 33, or you can see this in the Illustrated Gemara diagram number 353 on page 118. So it depends. If they're within three tefachim of the ground, they're considered on the ground. And therefore, you can sit on them, you can step on them, you can move them and touch them. It's not a problem because they're considered the ground. But if they're higher than three tefachim above the ground, you're not allowed to sit on them. Lo yeshev aleihem, because this is a gzeira that you're not allowed to use a tree on Shabbos. So when it's above three tefachim above the ground, it's considered the tree. If it's within three tefachim of the ground, it's considered the ground. Gemara starts off and says, Am Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua, Rav Huna, the son of Rabbi Yeshua says, "Ein metaltin bo yosim ibe sasayim." Underneath this area, it's, he said, you're allowed to carry. It's only allowed to be carried in this area if it's not greater than a base of sayim. This 5,000 square amma area underneath the tree. If it's more than 5,000 square ammas, then you're not allowed to carry in it. Why not? So we've already discussed this previously. We turn to the Omer Aleph. In this situation, mishum dehevi dira shetashmisha liyavir. Because in this situation, it's an enclosure that is not used for dira purposes, but it is used for open air purposes. And in this situation, as Rashi says, ain't a law dubor tabid, it's not being used for dwelling, ella listose bo shomre hasade, to have a place for the people outside in the field to go and have a comfortable area to sit in. So there, in this situation, the chodira shetashmisha liyavir ein metaltin bo yesim beis asayim. So it's considered not enclosed lehukaf l'shem dira. It's considered over here lebeis avir for purposes of avir, for air, and therefore you're not allowed to go and carry underneath this area. With this, we'll conclude today's share.